Chapter 1. The Local Church. Jesus only has one plan, and it's called church. I will build my church. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. The author of Hebrews exhorts his readers, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. Christians are meant to assemble together, especially on the Lord's Day. They are meant to worship together. Theologians speak of the visible church, the church that is made up of all those who profess to be Christians. Pedobaptists include children in this definition. The point is its visibility. It is not a secret society. It has a certain structure. It is made up of people who believe certain truths and live out a certain lifestyle. They do things together in a manner that is purposeful and sets them apart. And one important reason for a visible assembling of God's people is to worship God in a manner prescribed by Scripture. During the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020, when churches across the entire world shut down, they didn't cease to be visible churches. Churches are not defined by buildings. Meeting online may be irregular, but it is not illegal. The author of Hebrews hardly envisaged the internet, but virtual worship in seasons of extremity do meet many of the objectives of worship. The purpose of this book is to examine the nature of this collective, corporate worship. The church exists for other purposes, to evangelize or provide service in and for the community, for example, but its primary purpose is to worship the true and living God. The New Testament church emerged as a consequence of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Some speculate as to whether Jesus intended to create a visible church, but that seems totally contrary to Scripture, especially to the words of Jesus. A key text is Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Jesus and the disciples were in Caesarea Philippi and were discussing what people were saying about his identity. Some thought he was John the Baptist, raised from the dead. Others opined that he may be Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Peter had a defining moment in which he confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is clear that the confession arose due to a revelation given to him by the Father in heaven. Playing on the similarity of Peter's name and the Greek word for rock, Jesus responded, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Verses 18 through 19. Several issues need underlining. First, without getting embroiled in fanciful Roman Catholic claims that Peter is the first pope, it is clear that Peter is being given a primary role in the establishment of the New Testament church. The first section of the book of Acts is about Peter's role after Pentecost, while Paul is still a hostile Jewish assassin. Peter, broken and fragile as he was, is the one Jesus chooses. That in itself should encourage us. Second, Jesus refers to the church as my church. Pastors frequently talk about their churches, often to boast about the size of the membership or the budget. In doing so, they often use the words, "my church is." But it is not my church. It is Jesus's church. He is king and head of the church.